And beautiful song. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles, please. Jeremiah 2 again. And the title this morning is right from the text in verse 11. Hath a nation changed? Hath a nation. Of course, the verse says, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods. My people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Hath a nation changed. Father, please speak to our hearts today. And Lord, we celebrate our country. We rejoice that we are a part of this wonderful, this great nation. But again, we're reminded through your word that it's only great because we serve a great God. And because we have trusted you and you have entrusted us with this great country. And I pray, God, that we would do our part, that we'd be awakened, Lord, to the threats around us, certainly the threat in our own lives of sin and sinfulness that would cause us to lose our nation. And so please, speak to us today, I pray. And if there's someone here not saved today, I pray you'd save them in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, we know that things change. We experience that. Young become older. And we don't think about that when we're young, but as we get older, we certainly recognize and think about that even more. Seasons change, and praise the Lord for that. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to have the changing of the seasons. Technology changes. It amazes me how fast technology is changing. And, I think my phone has a lot of technology to it, and then I get teenagers that kind of laugh and say that it's outdated, and it just changes so fast. Computers and all of that is changing at a very rapid pace, and then we choose to change. There are some things we choose. We change. Over the years, I've changed my eating habits. Certainly, I chose that, and the reason I chose that was for better things for myself, better health and all of that, and many of you have done the same things, and it seems like only we would only change if the change is going to be a better change, right? I mean, that really makes the most sense. I mean, if we're doing something that is, for example, harmful, or we're doing something that is not profitable, it seems like we would change that. If a business owner is constantly going into the red and they're not making money, they're losing money every year, it seems like they would want to change that. However, if things are going well and things are going good, it seems like we would not necessarily want to change that. We only should change for the better, it seems to me. And it seems that way, I think, worldwide, because this passage of Scripture indicates that when you change for worse, people are astonished. They can't believe it. They are in shock. They are horribly afraid, even, verse 12 says, that anybody would change that which is best for that which is inferior. It just doesn't make sense. And so verses 9 and 10, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children, he says, will I plead. And he says, for pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. He said, if there be such a thing that anybody would change on purpose from best to worse. He said, I can't imagine. You could search all over the world and you're just not going to find people that would do that. It just doesn't make sense. In fact, it is astonishing that anyone would ever do that. That anyone would change gods when their God is God. You can't even imagine that. Be astonished, be afraid, he says, that people would change capital G God for a little G God. It's astonishing. He said that people would change their glory, verse 11, for that which doth not profit. In other words, they would take the glory that they have and they change that in for something that is no profit. So that's astonishing. It is, see if there be such a thing that anybody would actually do that. verse 13, it talks about Israel. It says, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me the fountain of living waters. So here's the fountain of living waters, bubbling up, providing, taking care of, blessing, all of that, constantly, over and over, providing need after need after need, blessing after blessing. But pushing that aside, and instead hewing out cisterns, a bowl, if you will, a container, if you will, that can hold no water. Why would you trade the fountain of living water for something that can't even hold water? He said, be astonished. Be amazed. Be very, very afraid, he said. Hath a nation changed? Hath a nation changed? What about our nation? In our last election, it was almost prophetic. There's going to be a change. There's going to be changes. Well, there has been. There really has been. Lots and lots of change. But it didn't start there. I almost made the title of the message From Rejoicing to Regret, because it started way before that. It started really at the birth of the nation because of the sinfulness of man. And so the question, why would we change? Why would we change? Why would we exchange capital G God for a little g God? Why would we do that? He says, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid, because it doesn't even make sense. Be astonished. Be shocked. Sometimes I think the world watches and they say, what is wrong with the United States of America? What is wrong with these people? They've got it so good. What is wrong with them that they would want something that's inferior? What is wrong with people that they would trade God in for another model that is totally not God? Why would we? I just want to give you four points this morning. And, you know, I'm an optimistic person. I'm the glass half full kind of a guy. And I'm excited. I'm excited about America. I'm excited about our community. I'm excited about our church. I'm excited about what God's doing. We had a fantastic week. And we have fantastic weeks. We see people saved every week. And we're watching God do great things. God still does great things. You know, you keep doing right, God's going to bless. He really is. But as far as our nation is concerned, we have to understand what the Bible says. And we have to see the, I start to say progression, but it's regression. And we do need to understand that that is how things go. I mean, honestly, if you go back and look at history of nations, different nations, and you look at those that blessed is a nation that whose God is the Lord, and you see them getting rid of God and kicking God out and removing God and corrupting morals and all of that because you remove God from the picture, and you watch that nation just fall apart. And it's always going to be true. It's always, every true history book, and notice I have to say true history book, the ones that tell the whole story, it's like that all the time. And that's really where we stand, folks. It is where we stand today. Number one, first point, our rejoicing. Psalm 33, verse 12. And I hope you'll write these verses down. These are great verses. They are true. It is the truth. It is the word of God. It cannot be wrong. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed, blessed, happy, rejoicing, flourishing. Are you listening? I mean, it doesn't that describe what the United States of America has been? There is no nation that can compare to the United States of America, and especially in her earlier years as just all that God gave us. We become aware of what a great nation we have. Blessed, happy, blessed, rejoicing. The greatest nation. Greatest nation. You think about, honestly, the location of the United States of America. How many of you ever played Risk? I mean, honestly, you look at the map and you play Risk, and I know it's just a game, but you just, you want the United States. Every time I played Risk, I'm always trying to get, I want the United States. Just look at its location. Look where, look how it's defended. Look how it's, the water around it, how protected. Folks, honestly, that's not a lucky thing. That's a God in heaven. That's a God who said, if some people will love me, if some people will make me God, I'll bless them. I'll put them there. I'll let them live there. And as God carves out that wonderful place that we know as the United States of America, God has in mind some people that are going to love Him and make Him God. And this is their place. It has nothing to do with luck. He knew that the pilgrims would worship Him. He knew the people would come, and they were searching for a place where they could worship God. Someone said this: the Spaniards came to the United States for the gold, the French came for gain, but the original colonists came for God. That was their whole purpose. They came to worship God. God said, hey, I'll carve this nation out for some people, and I'll make sure that it's a location that is perfect for them. And when the pilgrims came, they dropped on their knees and they thanked God for a place they could worship Him. No other nation can say that. That's how it was. And the song, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, protected by Thy might. Great God, our King. And He protects us over and over and over again. And He has all these years. Protected. Do you understand? We're the only large country that's never lost a war. I mean, you know, God has protected us. Okay, we've had some skirmishes, we've had some issues, we've had some problems, but God has protected us. That's no accident, folks. It's no accident. Blessed, happy, rejoicing is the nation whose God is the Lord. Every mineral is right here in the United States of America. Everything we need. We have more oil, as Gary Glenn pointed out on the Sunday night a couple weeks ago. We have more oil than anywhere. We have enough oil to sustain us. There's plenty of oil in the United States of America. Right. Amen. That's not an accident. God knew that we would need oil. God knows everything. God has it all under control. There's steel and coal and wood and land, and it's all here. Look around. I mean, it's America. And God put us here. And God allowed us to be here. Why? Because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed. He said, I'm going to bless that nation. And I honestly, you know, there's no prettier nation. You see pictures of other places. And the world is beautiful. God's made it that way. But there's no nation more beautiful. The coastlines that we have, the lakes, the mountains, the forests. I mean, America's beautiful. It's all on purpose. And I think because for 236 years, people have been rejoicing over America. Look what God's given to us. Look what God has. Be astonished that God says to the world, He's be astonished that any people would trade that in. Be astonished that anybody would trade in the blessings of God Almighty. Be astonished. Be very afraid that a people would ever think about trading all that in for anything else, because there's nothing better. Be astonished, be afraid, he says. Change is coming. That's what we were told. Oh, it's coming, all right. We are exchanging our God for anything and everything else. We are exchanging our God for money. We are exchanging our God for things. We are exchanging our God for power. We are exchanging our God for whatever lie man believes. Our pledge: one nation under God. Or as we say it in our school, one nation under God. One nation under God. Our motto, as we sang in the fourth stanza of the national anthem: in God we trust. That was our nation. That was our early nation. That was those that came and carved out this nation and took the materials that God gave and took the land that God gave and took the seasons that God gave and took the location that God gave and said, God, thank you for this nation. Thank you for this place. And God, we trust you and our nation is under you. And God said, I'll just keep blessing you. You understand that one nation under God and in God we trust are under huge attack. And I believe with all my heart, eventually, those terms will be outlawed in the United States of America. Don't be deceived, folks. You young people, honestly, do not be deceived by wherever you go to school and especially if they say, this nation wasn't a godly nation. Do not be deceived. This nation was founded upon the principle of we want to worship God. Amen. Nobody should interfere with somebody worshiping God. And it was founded on that principle. Do not be deceived. I mean, all the history. Now, again, when I say history books, I'm talking about the real history. I'm talking about true history, the truth, okay? You know, our country was founded by those who loved God. The framers of our Constitution, which, by the way, there's nothing, no document like it in any country in all the world. And the framers of that Constitution, after 3 weeks of arguing about it, if you can only imagine what all was going on there, Benjamin Franklin said this, it's time that we invoke the blessing of heaven on this document. Praise God. Oh, by the way, that invoking the blessing of heaven on this document, that would be illegal today. Well, to think that a politician would ever make a statement like that. Yeah, the ACLU would have a fit over a statement like that today. Are you listening? Yeah. God's blessed us. And it's caused rejoicing. Good night, folks. It's the greatest country. And here's what God just says here, tucked away in Jeremiah chapter 2. He says, hath a nation changed their gods? Be astonished if they would ever do such a thing. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And that is so true today. That is so true. Yeah. We're rejoicing. We've all these years of rejoicing. Wow, America. You could have a parade and you could celebrate and literally as the Star Spangled Banner is being sung, I mean, people put their hand over their heart and they love their country and we love our country because we love our God. There are no greater patriots in all the world than patriots that love Jesus. There isn't any better. And yet, boy, hath a nation changed their gods? Hath a nation changed? We've been blessed. We've been able to rejoice because people love God. And God said, if you're going to love me, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless this nation. And we're still sending out hundreds and thousands of missionaries. And we still have visions of reaching the world for Jesus Christ. And there are so many. But again, hath a nation. Changed. Hath a nation changed. You know, those who watch America, they have to look on astonished. Why would they want to change? Why would they want to change? Do you understand? Thousands every day are trying to get in here. Our rejoicing is because God is blessing and He's given us a great, great country. But number two is our reproach. Proverbs 14, verse 34. You know the verse. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to to any people. What is it that brings us down? Well, it's just one word, sin. That's it. Sin is a reproach, God said. It's not, you say, what about politics? Okay, well, that's out here on the branch, but the root of all that is sin. You can call it politics, you can call it whatever. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It comes down to sin. Why do we change? We change because of sin. We sin because we like it. In fact, we love it. It is why anybody changes. Okay, somebody you used to know, somebody you used to go to church with, somebody used to serve God, somebody used to be on a bus route, somebody used to teach Sunday school, somebody, and today they're not even in. Why did they quit going to church? They changed because of sin. Always. It's always the case. Okay, they used to sing in the choir. They used to stand and sing and tears flowed. Today they're hard. They're not interested. Why did they change? It's sin. Why do we change? Why is our nation changed? Because of sin. Always. It's always the case. Romans 1:21 shows us where it all starts. Preached on it before many, many times. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God as a nation, the United States of America, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. I mean, honestly, when you consider the pilgrims, and you consider them kneeling and thanking God for a nation. And when is the last time you knelt down and thanked God for your country? Wow. I mean, that's where it all starts. Neither were thankful, but became vain. They became vain. You know, they began to think somehow they are the ones that brought this about. That's what gets us in trouble all the time, when we're not thanking God for the things He's done for us, and we somehow think we're responsible for everything good in our lives. We are responsible for the bad in our lives. He is responsible for anything good in our lives. My salvation has absolutely nothing to do with anything I've done. It has everything to do with what He's done. And as a nation, we somehow get this idea, hey, did we put the mountains there? Did we put the forests there? Did we put the oil underground? Did we put the steel in the mountain? What did we do? Well, we just somehow get this idea. By the way, that is the teaching of humanism. And all of a sudden, we take the rejoicing for granted. And we take the rejoicing about our God for granted. And we think somehow we did it. That's called vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Vain in their imaginations. Empty. Kind of like the Laodiceans in Revelation. It says they didn't need God. They didn't need anything. They had it all figured out themselves. And you know, when America is most in trouble is when we think we've got it all figured out ourselves. Compare that to In God We Trust. Compare that with you know, the pilgrims bowing down and thanking God for putting them on land where they could worship Him. Wow, what a difference. It is a huge difference. Hey, do you need God today? Or do you kind of think you can get along without Him? You say, no, I need God, sure. That's why I'm in church today. When's the last time you really prayed? Oh, it was about a year ago when we were having some financial... Oh. Isn't that what's happened? Seriously, isn't that really what's happened to us? We're doing okay, right? We have our car. We have our garage to put our car in. In fact, we can't put our car in our garage because we have so much junk in the garage. So we have all this stuff. We have things. We have stuff. We have food. We have all these things. And so we start to get in our minds that we can make it. We're okay. We don't really. And where's the, oh God, we need You. Oh God, I've got to have You. And it's not just the lost. In fact, we wouldn't expect that from the lost. It's God's people. Neither were they thankful. Humanism leads us to not being thankful for a God. It leads us to counting on ourselves. Verse 26, it leads right into, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men. You know, that's talking about homosexuality, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Eventually, saying what I just said, reading that passage of Scripture that I just read, that is illegal in some countries. And there's legislation leading to that, not being able to read that passage as I just read it. That'll be illegal one of these days. But the point is, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile affections. Weird, odd affections. You say, well, you're talking about home. No, I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about a mother killing her child. Now, again, we can talk about abortion. By the way, eventually, it'll be illegal to say what I just said. But let's... How many times have you heard about parents killing their children today? You read it in the paper. Wait a minute. How about children killing their parents? Isn't that a vile affection? Sure it is. Where's that come from? It comes from an unthankful heart. That's where it comes from. That's where homosexuality comes from. I'm not thankful for what I am. I'm not thankful for the way God made me. The killing of the unborn is no respect of life. Declaration of Independence. Life. 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 We're independent. We believe in life. Life. But wait a minute. Life, if life is no longer precious anymore. In fact, if we can put a price tag on life, if we can say one life is better than another life, this life is not meaningful, therefore it needs to go. Then how many will be executed? How many will be left to die if we no longer regard life as important? Is a life inside a mother's womb, is that a life? It was never debated until the abortion issue. Liberty? The pursuit of happiness. Some will twist that and say, well, I'm not happy with having a baby. I would say to them, don't make one. By the way, if I'm not happy with having a baby is a legitimate argument, and we can just snuff out that life, wouldn't it stand to reason that eventually we would be able to just kill anyone we're not happy with? And isn't it true that if we have an elderly relative or loved one, that we would be able to just say, well, we're not happy with them, or we don't think they're happy with their life? I'll be honest with you. I like my life. I like breathing. I like living. Oh, the sins of our nation. You see how it just starts out with not being thankful and how far it goes. You know, I think about the Bible and how clear it is what I'm preaching to, how obvious, and honestly, I don't know how anybody could miss it. I don't know, the King James Bible, it seems to be working pretty well right here. Hath a nation changed their gods? Be astonished that a nation would do that. Be astonished that everything's going great and they're blessed by God and God's protected them all these years and war hadn't been on our land. And all this thing the world is saying, you know, they're looking on and they may gripe about us. They may complain about us. Have you ever thought maybe they're just jealous of us? They have to look on and say, what is wrong with these people? Why in the world would they ever want change from their God? But you know, that's us that read the Bible that find that, because it's right here in Jeremiah. You know, I believe this with all my heart. I think the communists must have read the Bible. I really think they must have read the Bible somewhere along the line. Now, it doesn't mean they believed it necessarily, but they did know, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I think they must have somehow understood the Bible truth that those who worship God, God's going to take care of and bless them. Because way back in the early 1900s, like 1919, in Dusseldorf, Germany, the Allied forces obtained a copy of some of the communist rules for revolution. It had nothing to do with crossing onto our borders and attacking us. It had everything to do with just good old Bible principle and getting us to go against it. That's all it is. Corrupt the young. Get them away from religion. Get them interested in sex. Make them superficial. Destroy their ruggedness. In other words, tell the men to just be their own little female self instead of being a man. We see that all the time now.
Yes, sir.
All the time. By the way, this was the early 1900s. This is in writing. Then they said, get control of all means of publicity. Thereby we can do this. Get people's minds off their government by focusing their attention on athletics, sexy books and plays, and other trivialities. Does that sound like today? Divide the people into hostile groups by constantly harping on controversial matters of no importance. You remember us apologizing to people that their great-great-great-grandpa was a slave? Why would we do that? I've never enslaved anybody. Why would we do that? Why would we even talk? Are y'all listening to me? Why would we even talk about those kind of things? Just to keep people stirred up about something. Communists knew that. Destroy the people's faith in their natural leaders by holding the latter up to contempt, ridicule, and obloquy, which is disgrace. Always preach true democracy, but seize power as fast and ruthlessly as possible. We've just seen that happen. Right. By encouraging government extravagances, destroy its credit, produce fear of inflation with rising prices, and general discontent. Bible says if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. That's how it all works right there. Just neither should he. Well, I'm worried I'm not going to be able to eat. Oh, good. Work. Amen. You know, it's a shame that you can't. Often people don't get a job because they make more not working. 4 unnecessary strikes in vital industries. This was early 1900s. Encourage civil disorders and foster a lenient and soft attitude on the part of government towards such disorders. Big issues, folks. By specious argument, cause the breakdown of moral virtues, honesty, sobriety, continence, faith in the pledged word, ruggedness. And cause the registration of all firearms on some pretext with a view to confiscating them and leaving the population helpless. And verse 11 says, they changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished. Be afraid. Number 3, our response. I will hurry. Jeremiah 7, verse 28. Jeremiah 7, verse 28. What's our response going to be? Hath a nation changed their gods? Well, it's in the process. Jeremiah 7, verse 28. What's our response then? We had rejoicing. Now we see the reproach. How will we respond? Jeremiah 7, verse 28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished, and is cut off from their mouth. Truth is perished. John 8:32 says, the truth shall set you free. Amen. Truth is perished. Why? Well, because the people are not obeying the voice of the Lord their God, and they're not receiving the correction from the Word of God being preached by men of God. Nation is in bondage to government. Nation is in bondage to welfare and to taxes and in bondage. And a debt. Truth. I said it a while ago, a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Period. That's truth. Too many are just not willing. Most don't want to hear the truth. The new gods are more fun. The new small g gods have no rules. The new small g gods say, do your own thing. We need to get back to God. And as we get back to God, we get back to the truth. But that's what took us away from God, because we didn't want to hear the truth. And so instead, we go farther and farther away. Proverbs 23:23. And I am moving quickly. Just about done. Proverbs 23:23. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy it, sell it not. What's our response? Well, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We hear it over and over and over again. Brother Glenn talked about it. I've preached on it. You've preached on it. You've taught on it. If my people, that's us, which are called by my name, that's Christians, shall humble themselves, pray. That's what the early Christians did over and over. George Washington prayed, begged God, I need you, God. Benjamin Franklin said, we need to pray. We need to stop. We need to pray. Humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn. Turn from the sin. That's what we have to do. Then will I hear from heaven, God says, and will forgive their sin and will heal their... That's really what we need. We need healed. And God's the only one that can do it. It's what we must do. It's what we have to do. Because we had rejoicing. We had reproach. Our response, number four, is our regret. Because if we don't, there will be regret. And it's coming, folks. It really is. Isaiah 60, verse 12. How do we think somehow? It's like people come in and they counsel with me, and they somehow, and it always is like this. Well, I'm going to do this. And I say, you know what? Nobody's ever done that and gotten away with it, because it's sin. You're not going to get away with sin. It's not possible. Well, I'm going to do this. I've got it planned. I got it figured out. You cannot get away. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Period. You're not going to avoid that. You can't get away from it. It is a law. Okay? It's just how it is. Isaiah 60 and verse 12, it says this, and it's always this way, the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. It's always that way. My people are destroyed, Hosea says. For lack of knowledge. Destroyed. Well, not just any knowledge, the truth. The truth. Hosea 4, verse 6. Back to our text. I'm just about done. Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Look at verse 13. What's the result of verse 13? Well, we had a fountain of living water. Living water, it's constantly flowing. And instead, we took cisterns that can hold no water. What's the result? The result's no water. It's just a result, no water. I mean, if it's 95 degrees and I've got a fountain here of water and I just can get a drink anytime I want it, but I say, you know what, I don't want that anymore. Instead, I want a canteen that has a hole in it. Okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to regret it. I'm going to regret it. But you know what? Regret's too late. Regret means it's already over. Regret means it's 95 degrees and I have a canteen that's worthless. I'm a very optimistic person. I'm always optimistic. But I cannot and I will not ignore the Bible truth. Wednesday is Independence Day, the greatest nation on this earth, blessed by God Almighty. But it's only going to be great if God's the Lord. You folks, honestly, just read your history books. It's always true. The nation of Israel. Look at little piddly Israel. How many times God has blessed them, taken care of them. They turn on God. They sin against God. And captivity. And it's like, how in the world did that happen? Be astonished. Be very, very astonished that they would trade their God for another God. If God is the Lord, blessed is the nation. Have a nation changed? This one's changed. And the only hope is to change back. And the only way that happens, my people, it's us. It's God's people. You say, well, yeah, but I like this and I like that. I understand that's why we're in the mess we're in. It really is. It's not just voting. Maybe more than that, it's not voting. Yeah. You know, but more than that, it's getting on our knees and going to our God and saying, God, we still love you. You're still our God. Amen. God, we need your blessing. We need you. Let's bow our heads, please. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here you'd say, preacher, I'm not even sure who my God is. I'm not sure if I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I know I'm going to heaven, but God's spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. God's speaking to me as a Christian. Thank you. Father, bless the invitation. Have your will and your way in our lives. I pray we'll make the decisions that we ought to make and that we'll live the way we ought to live and that we'll certainly take to heart the message today. It is astonishing. It is amazing when we watch a human, a person, trade you in for something the world has to offer. We're amazed. We sit back in shock. And yet as a country, we're watching it happen. God, help us do our part, please. I pray you will. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.